Okay, our text is found in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 10. Now, why did our God give us His Word? Why do we have His Word? Our God gives us His Word to instruct us, to teach us who He is. It's to reveal to us who our God is. And in His Word, He reveals His will and purpose to us. He's making known what His will and purpose is for the people of God. And so we read in His Word where He tells us, "Hearken diligently to the voice of your God. Hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Obey His commands." Now, what is the command of our God? It's to believe on Him whom He has sent, and to love your brethren. Believe on the one whom God has sent, His Son, Jesus Christ, because He is the Word of God. Christ is the Word of God, and in Christ we have revealed to us what God's will and purpose is for us. The will and purpose of God is that He will be gracious to you in Jesus Christ, His Son. I don't know of anything more precious than to know the will of God is that He will be gracious to you in His Son, Jesus Christ. All who come to Him through the Son find forgiveness, find peace, find mercy and reconciliation with God. And so our God is accomplishing His will and purpose in the earth. He's sending forth His Word. His Word goeth forth in the preaching of the gospel to accomplish His will and purpose in the earth, which is to redeem, which is to deliver His people, to bring them out of darkness, to bring them to know what God has done freely for them in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so I've titled the message, God's Word Goeth Forth. His Word goeth forth. Now I'm going to begin in verse 11. Let's pick up in verse 11. Here our Lord says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." What is this word of which our God speaks? Well, when you read the Word of God and you hear the Word of God, it's to declare, it's to make known to you the purpose, His will and purpose in Jesus Christ. His Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes known to us His salvation, His Savior in His Word. It is His Word. Christ is His Word, so that we see Christ in all the Scriptures. When you see Christ in all the Scriptures, that's a good thing. Thank God for that. When you see Christ, and it's speaking of Christ, He's the Word which was made flesh. The Son of God was manifest in the flesh. He is the God-man mediator. And that's what we want to know. We want to know, what does that mean, Lord, that Your Son, Jesus Christ, is the God-man mediator? What does that mean? Why is He a mediator? That shows us, that declares to us that He's the one who brings together two parties that were enmity against one another. In reality, we were enmity against God. But God had a people whom He loved and chose before the foundation of the world, and He gave them to Christ to accomplish their salvation, to accomplish His will and purpose for you whom He loves. And so the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we see Christ in all the promises of God. All the promises that he declares to us in the scriptures, they all speak of Christ. For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea, and in him, amen. So that our God is telling us that all his promises to be merciful, to be gracious, to give you life, to give you an end which is good and profitable in him, it's all found, it's all received, it's all given in his Son, Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there's no promises of good. There's only the promise of wrath for those outside of Christ. And Christ is that good word. He's the good word. He is the gospel. He's the substance of the gospel whom we preach. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 1, verse 23 through 25. He says, we are born again, not of corruptible seed. What's the corruptible seed? That's the seed of Adam. That's how we all come forth naturally. That's just our own minds, our own thoughts, our own likes, our own dislikes. It's all corrupted. It all comes of corrupted seed in Adam. That's not how we're born again. This life isn't reformed. We're regenerated. We're given a new birth, a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Christ is that word which liveth and abideth forever. He is the very one whom we preach, because it's his incorruptible seed that gives us life, whereby in that new man which is created of him, we hear his word, we believe his word. We hear him, we receive him, we believe his word. For all flesh, this flesh of Adam, is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of our Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. He's the one who gives life to his people. He gives life to whomsoever he will. And he's gathered you together here this morning. Beg him that you hear him with the hearing of faith. Beg him that he give you birth, a new birth by his seed, where the Spirit takes of the things of Christ and gives them to you, to your heart, giving you an ear, giving you a heart, giving you a need that can only be satisfied and met in the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach Christ because he reveals the Father to us. We don't know who the Father is. We don't know how to approach God. We don't know how to please God. We think we do, and all it is idolatrous works, vain works, dead works which cannot please God, which can earn us no favor, no merit with the true and living God. But Christ reveals the Father to us, and he brings us to the Father. He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Because you that see Christ right now, by faith, you behold the will and purpose of God, that he will be gracious to you in this one, this Jesus of Nazareth, whom we preach, whom God has declared by raising him up from the dead to say, this one is salvation. Look to him, run to him, flee to him. I'm merciful to all who come to me in my Son. He is the refuge whom God has provided to deliver the people from their sin. That's how we know the will and purpose of God, that he will be gracious to us, because in Christ he put away our sin. He canceled our debt. You know, when I was looking over my notes this morning, I was thinking about that term, canceled debt. That's a popular thing that's going around these days, right? The canceling of debt, especially in regards to student loan debt. And the young people or anyone who's responsible for that student loan debt would love to see it canceled. But the older people who have no debt or aren't responsible for that debt in any way are upset about that, because they know that when debt is canceled, it doesn't just vanish away. Someone's paying for that debt. It may be canceled for you, but someone else is paying that debt. And so in the student loan, the older people get upset because they know, wait a minute, I'm paying for that debt through my taxes. It's coming out of my pocket ultimately. Well, so it is with our sin debt. It's canceled for us, but someone paid that debt. The Lord Jesus Christ came and willingly paid the debt of sin which we owed. We owed God perfect righteousness, and we can't pay it. But Christ came, and he said, I'll bear it. I'll bear that burden. Lay it on me. I'll pay it in full. And so he submitted himself to the penalty of death under the law, which was our due, which we earned and had to pay. Christ paid it in our room instead for his people. And all who believe in him do manifest that that blood was shed for them. They do show and testify, God did that for me. That's why they believe, because God's revealing, this is for you. I've paid your debt. I've canceled your debt for you. Christ has paid it all. And so Christ has delivered us. All right, where did I go? So Christ canceled that debt by his own blood, and he removes the enmity in us. So that having put away our sin, he doesn't leave us in darkness. He doesn't leave us in our flesh and in darkness and undoneness. He removes the enmity so that we know that we look to Christ and we believe him. He removes that enmity so that we have fellowship with the true and living God. And he does this by regeneration, by giving us his Spirit, who gives us life in Christ and gives us knowledge and understanding of the things of our God in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that our God speaks to us now through his Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and we see that our God has done all things for us in his Son. Hebrews 1, verse 1. There it says, God, who at sundry times, or at various times and in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So that, brethren, we declare the word of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach Christ and him crucified to you, because that's how the will of God is revealed in your hearts. That's how you know God. That's how you know his will and purpose for you, because he manifests it in your hearts, making you to know, Lord, help me. Lord, cleanse me with that blood. Lord, save me. Don't deal with me as my sins deserve. Lord, have mercy on me, as I've seen you have mercy on so many who came to you seeking for forgiveness and mercy and help. And everyone who came to you, you didn't turn a single one away, but you showed compassion and grace to them. So you that are sinners, you that are unworthy of his mercy and grace, look to Christ. Look to him. Come to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, because that is the will and purpose of God for his people, to be gracious to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach him because he reveals to us and makes us to know what God has done for us freely in grace and in mercy. Through Christ, God reveals his mind to you. He makes you to know that he's not going to deal with you according to your sins. You that receive him, you that believe him, he makes us to know what his will and purpose is. You know, we do that all the time with our work. When you give your word, you're making known to someone what your will and purpose is, right? You give your word and then you follow through. You follow through on the word that you've given. Paul did it when he was writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. He said, "When I therefore was thus minded, when I let you know my mind, what my will was to do, did I use lightness or the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay." In other words, he made known to them that when I come through to Macedonia, I'm going to stop in and see you, brethren, in Corinth. And when I'm on my way back from Macedonia, going to Jerusalem, I'm going to stop in and see you, brethren, in Corinth. And so he did it. And that's what our God is doing. He's making known to you his will and purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're gathered here. It's not just to hear nice stories or moral stories or to be encouraged to be good people in the world and to do better and to repent of the bad things we do. That's not why we're gathered here. We're gathered here to know the mind of our God, to know what his will and purpose is for us. And it's all known, made known to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. To be turned from your own ways, to be turned from your works, to be turned from your dead, vain religion, your dead letter religion, to behold the life and the salvation of God in Christ. To rejoice, to be glad in him, to see the expected end that he's given you in his Son, Jesus Christ. We labor in this word to declare to you that God is reconciled to his people through Jesus Christ. He's the living word of God. He's the one that speaks into our heart to let us know what the will and purpose of God is for us in Christ. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. Paul speaks of this very thing, this ministry that we have. This is why we gather together, to hear God's word, because God's revealing to us his will and purpose. And that's what he says. Now he's speaking to you who are his people. Now we don't know it at first. We don't know that we are his until he manifests that faith in us, that hope in us, looking to Christ, that God will be merciful to us, to me in Christ. So that Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Right? We're new creatures in Christ. Verse 18 now. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, so that we who are called to preach, and you that minister here, we're laboring," this is our labor, "to declare to you the word of God, to declare to you Jesus Christ and him crucified, because that's where God reconciles his people unto himself. We labor in this ministry to keep preaching Christ, to say it from this verse and that verse, and to declare to you over and over again what God has done. Because in this flesh, we're so hard of hearing, we're so dead, we're so cold, we're so easily willing to do and go the way of this world. But our God keeps showing us mercy and grace and drawing us back to himself in the embracing arms of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so this is our ministry, to wit, verse 19, or to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, so that you who are his people, he lodges that word, the word of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, his seed, that new man in your heart, whereby you believe Christ. It's given to you, made known to you what God has done for you. Because Christ is a personal Savior. He saves sinners. He saves people who cannot save themselves and need his mercy and grace. And so this is our ministry, and this word is given to each of you who believe on him and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul then says, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors. Ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For God hath made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Would you be righteous? Would you be holy? Would you stand before God faultless before his throne? Believe him. Believe the one whom he has sent. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's how God is met. That's how God receives his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. He's the Word of reconciliation, and he's given us this ministry to labor in your midst in love and in fellowship and in joy and in peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we preach this word, though, as Paul said in another place, I'm an ambassador in bonds. I'm an ambassador in chains. I am like you, weak and foolish and sinful, and have nothing to boast of in myself. My boast, my glory, my all is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that the Lord make him your all, and that he rejoice your hearts, that he bring you low in yourself to see your need of him, and that he give you faith in your heart and the hope of the saints of God who look to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe him. And Christ said to his, he said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that's not a command. Those of the flesh hear that as a command. They say, oh, I better stop walking in darkness. I better start straightening my life out. No, that's a promise. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, this word that goeth forth out of our God's mouth, it's described here using a picture from nature in verse 10. Look there at verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So there's a purpose. There's a purpose in God sending you his word. There's a purpose, and there's a season for which that word comes. He describes it as the rain. There's spring rains and there's fall rains, and each one serves its purpose in helping bring forth that seed to bud, and then giving water to the crop so that it comes all the way to fruition to bring forth fruit. And there's a purpose for snows. I don't think you guys get a lot of snow down here, but there's a purpose in snow. When it packs up on the mountains and it packs up on the ground, it slowly melts in the early spring, and that fills the water reservoirs underneath and all the water tables once again. Well, so it is with the Word of God, that we are refreshed. There's a time when we hear it for the first time by faith, and we receive it, and that word, that word which he's given to us, which was cast forth by the sower preaching the word, is met with the rain of God's word. And it breaks forth and it springs forth, and there's a bud, and it shoots up through the hard ground because it hears, and it reaches forth for that light, seeking the Lord our God. And eventually, when that seed comes forth to a head, it, such as grain or wheat, it's used to make bread, that heavenly bread, upon which that heaven-born soul begins to feast upon the bread of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we hear his word, and it brings forth much fruit in his people, and we rejoice in what he's done. And so God declares in verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So our God is telling us that his word shall not fail for that purpose which he has sent it to you this day. And it'll prosper in his hand. He speaks of Christ in his word in Isaiah 53, verse 10. He tells us the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Meaning you whom he's purposed to save, though you try to get away in your flesh, though you try not to hear, though you try not to believe it, he will cause you, he will bring you to the end of yourself, and he'll open your ear and cause you to hear what he has purposed for you in his son. Our Lord himself gave an illustration of seed to describe how that he brings forth the fruit in his people, which he has purposed to save and to harvest for himself. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And our Savior, he is that corn of wheat. He's the one who came and laid down his life and gave his life, died for us, so that he would bring forth many people, many to believe, many to have an inheritance in him. You know, if Christ came and showed us who he was, and did many miracles and taught us the things which he taught us, if he didn't die, if he didn't go to the cross and lay down his life, none of us would be saved. We might know that that was the Son of God. We might know a lot of things. But if our sin wasn't put away by the death of himself, we would all die in our sins. And we could not be brought forth fruitful unto our Lord and what he does. But Christ is the blessed man. Psalm 1:3 says, "And he, Christ the blessed man, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And so we preach Christ, because in the preaching of Christ, his fruit is manifested in the hearts of his people by faith. Which they hear, by which they hear the word of God, by which they hear that he is the Savior, by which they are made to know that they need his salvation, his blood, his difference. And so we preach confidently. We preach in faith. We preach trusting that our God has a purpose in declaring this very word to you, his people. We see it also, even in an example. Paul, when he went to Acts, turn to Acts 18. Acts 18. Acts 18, verse 5. It says at the end of verse 5 there that Paul was pressed in the spirit and he was testifying, he was preaching to the Jews, that Jesus was Christ. There at the end of verse 5, he was preaching that Jesus is Christ. But they opposed that word. They blasphemed against the word that Paul preached. They spoke out against it. Today, people just stop coming. They usually don't oppose you to your face, but they show you that they're not happy with what they're hearing by just not coming anymore. But Paul, when they opposed it, Paul turned to the Corinthians, to the Gentiles. And it says in verse 8 that when he preached to them, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized at the end of that verse. And so some hated the word. They rejected the word. They judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. But others heard that word and they rejoiced in what they heard and they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that later on, when Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians verse chapter 2, verse 14 through 17, he said, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." We make known the will of God by them crying out to him for mercy, for salvation, for forgiveness in Christ. They reveal their hope in him by the faith which they have in Christ. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ. And so we preach this word in hope. This word is the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby he declares to sinners that this is how he is reconciled to his people, through Christ, who laid down his life for the sins of the people. And to those whom he wills, he reveals this hope in them, this faith in them, whereby they believe that this is the Christ. He is salvation. I have no salvation apart from him. I need his blood. I need his salvation. Lord, have mercy upon me. And so we preach Christ, the God-man mediator, to make known to you how God is reconciled, how you have peace with God and find comfort for your souls in the Lord Jesus Christ. All who believe on Christ shall not be ashamed. All who trust Christ shall never be ashamed, because they stand before God perfect, spotless, holy, in a perfect, righteous garment. It's like, but all those who do not believe Christ, they stand in their own works, they stand in a garment full of holes. It's like having one of those dreams when you're a young kid and you find yourself standing naked before your class. And, you know, you get scared. That's how it'll be for those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll stand in their works thinking that they're covered, and their garment is full of holes, exposing all their shame and nakedness. But Christ is righteousness, and he is the righteous garment of his people, by whom we stand faultless before the throne of God. Now, I've preached Christ to you, and poorly at that, I expect, but what savor is revealed in your hearts this day? And what you've heard of Christ, is it just a sour taste of death in your mouth? Or is it a wonderful taste of joy and gladness and forgiveness? To the one, Christ is a savor of life unto life. And to the other, he's a savor of death unto death. And God makes known in the hearts of his people them that are his, because they believe on him. They trust him. They have no other hope but Christ. I pray that he makes Christ the savior of life unto you this day, and that you find peace and reconciliation and joy with your God in the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brethren, I'm going to close in prayer, and then Brother Walter will come and close us in a hymn.